something new.
Right. So we saw Gemara on Daf Lamed Vav Omed Aleph. I remember we were discussing about the bracha being made on Shemen, and the Gemara's final conclusion was that there is no bracha to be made when you drink the Shemen by itself. There is no bracha to be made when you drink it together with pas, because it's not the ikka, it's the tofel. And if you drink it together with anigroin, essentially there's also no bracha, because again, it's a tofel. Except if it's done for medicinal purposes, then indeed there would be a bracha. Says the Gemara, isn't that poshut? No, not so poshut, because you might have thought that because it's taken for medicinal purposes, maybe there would be no bracha at all. Kamash malon, at the end of the day, you have hana'ah. And if you have hana'ah from it, that's why you make a bracha. That was really the sugya that we saw last time. Now, the Gemara brought, by the by, the Braisa, let's have a look at it again on the fifth line of the Gemara, and then we'll see Rashi and Tosis again. Tosis we haven't yet learned. Tanya, hachoshish begreino, if somebody's concerned about his throat, loy ya'arenu b'shemen tchilo b'shabbos. Now what does that mean, loy ya'arenu? So Rashi said, if you look at the second wide line, Rashi says, loy ya'arenu b'shemen b'shabbos, b'tumah hilchos Shabbos over here, d'mashilei b'teich greino. D'mashilei b'teich greino, he holds it in his mouth, he waits, and he gargles the shemen, which is now sitting in his mouth for a while, in which case it's clearly nikar that he's doing so for refuah purposes, in which case you're involved in the gzeirah refuah, which is also on Shabbos. So according to Rashi, lo ya'arenu means what? Gargling and letting it sit in your mouth for a while. The very fact that you let it sit in your mouth for a while is itself the problem, because then it's clearly recognizable that you're doing it for refuah purposes. That's not the normal way that you take shemen. So according to that, what, however, therefore is the solution? So the Gemara says, Avol noisein shemen harbe letoich anigroin uboilea. So rather, if you literally translate, rather you'd put in a lot of shemen and you would swallow it. So it sounds like the eitzah would be, don't let it sit and gargle around in your mouth, but rather what? Swallow it. So it sounds like on a simple level, the problem was the fact that it's sitting around in your mouth, and the eitzah is to swallow it and not let it sit around in your mouth. The problem is, and this is what Tosafot discusses, if that's the case, then why did you ever have to mention anything about l'teich anigrein? If the problem was you're taking shemen and you're gargling it, so what's the solution? Take shemen and don't gargle it. Simple as that. Why do you have to introduce? Why do you have to say that the way that you can rectify this situation is if you mix it with anigroin? One second. What is the solution? The fact that you're mixing it with anigroin, or the fact that you are swallowing it? Why must you have two separate conditions? Unless in theory you tell me, which is not the simple pshat, although we'll see in a moment that Tosafot does say this, that maybe indeed it's two different heterim. In other words, maybe you have to translate the Gemara as you mix it with anigroin or you swallow it, but not and you swallow it. So that would be a very nice teretz. You don't need two conditions. You only need one condition to permit it. Either one will do. But for the moment, it doesn't sound like that. For the moment, the simple translation of the Gemara is, the problem was you gargle it. The solution is mix it with anigroin and then swallow it. And that's the big question. If swallowing it takes care of the issue, then why would you need to mix it with anigroin? So let's immediately look at top Tosafot, because Tosafot discusses this. Loy ya'arenu. Pirish Rashi lahashoy soy. Rashi says that the issue over here is the fact that it's delaying. The fact that it's sitting in his mouth for a while, that makes it nikkel refuah. Ve'im toima. So I said, I don't understand. Im kain. Remember our favorite word, im kain. If so, what does if so mean? According to Rashi, as we'll see in a moment, if you learn otherwise in this question, will not be a problem. But according to Rashi, lifloig, let us differentiate, velisni, and it should be stated, bedido. What does it mean, bedido? In that very case, why do you have to veer off to a different case? Why can't we differentiate within the parameters of the case that we're dealing with? I.e., my area. Why do we need to discuss Alidea Nigroin? Why do we need to say that the solution is based on the fact that you're mixing it with Anigroin? Afilu Be'en. Even if it's Be'en, Be'en means it's just plain, without being mixed with anything else, surely it will be what? Shori. It will be permitted, leboiloi la'alta, to swallow it immediately without delaying it. Deho einoi osa, it was only ever osa ela la'areir, which means, according to Rashi's translation, it means you're delaying it. Dehainu la'ashoisei. That's delaying it. You're letting it sit around in your mouth for a while. So, l'chayu, what's the solution? Swallow it. But why do you have to introduce a nigrain? That's what it means. Lifloig velisni bididoi. You can differentiate within the case that you're talking about. Within the case that you're talking about. So you could have told me the exact same problem with the exact same heter without ever introducing a nigrain at all. And that's Tosis Kasha. So again, this is all based on Rashi's translation. That Rashi translated, what does it mean? Lo ya'arenu? Ya'arenu means do not gargle. La'ashoise. It shouldn't sit around in your mouth. If that's the translation, then we're in big trouble. Because if that's the problem, then the solution is that it shouldn't sit around in your mouth and you simply swallow it. Why bring in a nigrain to the picture? Alkein Pirish Hari. Therefore, the Ri explains differently, and he disagrees with Rashi. And he says, Lo Ya'arenu, quote unquote. Do you know what it means when it says in the Braisa that you shouldn't ya'arenu? So Rashi translated, you shouldn't have the shemen sitting around in your mouth. That's not how the Ri translated. How did the Ri translate? Lo ya'arenu afilu beblia. Even if you swallow it, beloy shehia. Without letting it sit around in your mouth. Shekol shtia. Is any type of drinking, she'einoi elo alarafua, which is merely done for medicinal purposes, kori lei, what do we call that? Irur, quote unquote. So we have a basic translation machlekas between Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, what's la yarenu? Do not gargle. According to Tosfos, nothing to do with gargling, even if you swallow it immediately. That's also awesome. So what's translation of the word lo ya'arenu means do not take it medically. That's what ya'arenu means. Whenever you drink something, doesn't matter whether you gargle it or whether you swallow it, totally irrelevant. If you're taking it for medical reasons, then that's asur on Shabbos because it's a gzeira of refuah. Nothing to do whether you gargle or don't gargle. Va'afilu kesheboiloi. And even when you swallow it, it's also asur v'hainu timer. And the reason the mitzvah that indeed it is asur is mishum the kol muchacha milsa, because it is apparent that a refuah kol mechaven. How is it apparent that you mechaven for refuah? No, kum say it's nothing to do with gardening. Even if you swallow it, it's also asur. So how is it muchacha is done for refuah? I'm standing here as an onlooker. I see you take oil and drink it, whether you gargle it or swallow it, and I immediately know, according to Tosfos, I can see this fellow's taking it for a fool. How do I know? I'm not a novice.
Oil's not drunk.
Because oil's not drunk. So if I see somebody drinking oil on Shabbos, no matter how he drinks it, it's because it's clearly nikah that we're dealing with somebody who's involved in refuah, and that's the gzeira. So what's the solution? If you mix it with a negro, now it's very good. That's how Tosfos has answered his question. According to Rashi, says Tosfos, the whole anigroin factor is totally irrelevant. Because according to Rashi, what was the issue in the first place?
gargling.
The gargling it. So what's the solution? Don't gargle. Swallow it. Whoever needs to talk about a Negro. But according to Tosis, the gargling was never the issue. Rather, it's the drinking of it, whether you gargle or swallow, totally irrelevant. If you ever drink plain oil, it's clearly recognizable that it is for refuah. Ah, very good. So what's the solution? Drink it as not plain oil, i.e. mix it with anigrain. So we understand very well. That's why the Gemara had to introduce the concept of anigrain. Now, we need to point out immediately that even though Tosfos has dealt very nicely with the question of anigrain, but l'chaira, there is still one word in the Gemara which is very troubling, according to Tosfos. Which word in Tosfos, l'chaira in the Braisa, is still problematic, according to Tosfos? And he doesn't really address this. Huh?
Swallow it.
Why does the Gemara have to say, Oboilea? That was never the issue. According to Tosfos, how you down this oil is totally irrelevant. Whether you gargle it or whether you swallow it, totally irrelevant. That was never the issue. What was the issue according to Tosfos? If you take plain oil, it looks like it's refuah. If you take oil with anigrain, it doesn't. Therefore, Tosfos has dealt very nicely with the fact that the Gemara mentions anigrain. The fact that the Gemara mentions boilea alachay is a little bit problematic. It doesn't deal with it. Okay. Now, Tosfos says in conclusion, Aleph Nun. What's Aleph Nun mean? Inami. Alternatively, maybe there is a way that we can defend Rashi. Yesh liyashev pirish Rashi. Maybe we can indeed answer Rashi. We can defend his position. We can say as follows. Lo ya'arenu l'hashoisoi. Indeed, let's go back to Rashi's translation. Lo ya'arenu means l'hashoisoi, to gargle it. Aval noiseinu l'toich anigroin. So what is the solution? You put it together with anigroin. Va'afilu l'hashoisoi. Again, even if it's still going to be gargled. Oi, that's the main word that needs to be underlined. Oi. It's not and. Or boiloi be'en b'loi shehiya. Alternatively, I can come up with a different solution, which is swallow it, even if it's be'en, without any anigra, b'loi shehiya, without gargling. If you look in the Bach, I got us the Bach, we've got the Gimel. You see there's a Gimel in Tosfos in parenthesis, small Gimel. So have a look at the Agoas HaBach, which should be somewhere on your page on the margin. Agoas HaBach. Go to Gimel. The Bach says, Tosfos. Dibba Masalo Yaren, Oy Boiloy, Nun Beis, which is like NB, Nechte Betzidi, Vahai. And this word, Uboilea, quote unquote, Kloimar, Oy. Boiloi. That's what the Bach is explaining. When the Gemara says uboilea, really it means oiboilea. So Tosfos has now come up with two different approaches, either his own or a defense of Rashi. His own approach is that gargling or swallowing is totally irrelevant, it was never a subject, it was never mentioned, it's not the issue at hand. What is the issue? Are you having the shemen plain? That's called be'en. In which case, it's definitely nikah, that is for refuah. Or you're having it mixed with anigrain, and then it's not mixed, not the nikah refuah. According to Rashi, the issue was the gargling. So why do you have to mention anigrain? Just say the solution is not to gargle. It's the closest. In conclusion, you could defend Rashi and say, you're right, it's two separate solutions. You don't need both. Solution number one is mix it with anigrain, in which case you can even gargle it. Solution number two is, or, not and, or you can swallow it clean without any groaning, but then you have to make sure that you don't gargle it. Two separate settings. Okay. One more Tosfos. Kiven de isle ha-no'omine. This is the Gemara in the conclusion. The Gemara said that because you are having benefits from this whole shaman arrangement, you make a bracha despite the fact that you're taking it from medicinal purposes. The Tosfos says, the nirim hadvarim, it would therefore appear that what? The im odom shoise, if a person ever drinks mashkin, liquids, im hamashkin, in other words, for refuah, obviously. Im hamashkim ra'im lishtos. What does that mean, ra'im lishtos?
It's bad.
Tastes bad.
The word ra. If it tastes foul, doesn't have any pleasant taste at all, and you don't benefit, d'les leha no'omine, such that you're not actually getting any hana'ah from it at all, loy boy baruchi. So you'd not need to make a bracha. But the I isle hanoomine, if you do get hana from it, below harafua, besides the fact, of course you're benefiting from it because it's healing you. We're not talking about that. We're talking about whether it's a pleasant taste, then bo'i, you'd be required baruchi. That seems to be the halachic principle that it's emerging from our Gemara. Tosfos points this out, and as we mentioned last time, we will be'ez Hashem Yisbarach come back to this. In Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the sugya that we're learning now, it came in sort of by the by. But in Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, which is another two daf, Hashem will still get there this month, we'll see. There it's discussed Barichus, and Mitzvah Hashem, then we will learn the subject together and try and get to clear maskana is what is halacha for making bracha on medication. But for the moment, the I isle hanotomine. And if you do have benefit from it, beloy harafua. Meaning, don't make the mistake of thinking, I always have benefits, because it's healing me, and that itself is benefit. So that's why I tell you to point out, no. The hana'ah that we're discussing is not the medical hana'ah, but rather the physical hana'ah, the taste, if it's kishmak.
What's that?
I'm getting benefit from something. No, the Gemara says it's a kiddush. The Gemara says, pshita. The Gemara says, no, ma'ud, I would have thought that because you're doing it for refuah, you don't get a brocha. You don't make a brocha, kamashmanon, you get hana'ah. So what's the kiddush? The kiddush is very big. Apparently, there would have been room to suggest that if you take something for refuah purposes, even if you get hana'ah, you wouldn't make a brocha. That would have been the Hava Amina.
Just on a Stam Tuesday, I have the same drink that I usually have, but I'm not sure.
Depends why you're having it. In other words, the Hava Amina was, it's all dependent on Kavanah. If you take a steaming hot lemon tea because you have a sore throat, even though it happens to be that you like lemon tea and it fills you up and it quenches your thirst, etc., etc., that's not why I did it. The Hava Amina was that what would you do? No bracha. Why? Because my intention is for refuah. Refuah is not considered benefiting from this world. Ah, you have a benefit. Say that. That's not what I'm trying to be involved in. What's the chiddush of the Gemara? The Gemara says that no. Actually, you do. You do make a bracha, even though your intention was not for the purpose of the benefit, but at the end of the day, you had benefit. That's what Tosfos is pointing out. Benefit does not mean the refuah benefits. Obviously, you have benefit, otherwise, you wouldn't be taking it. It means, do you have physical benefits from the taste? Is it pleasant taste?
It's the oily anigrin.
That's the oily anigrin. That means I'm taking it for refuah purposes. But it happens to be, it's very good smack. Tasty. It's not why I'm doing it. It's not why I'm having it. Maybe I would have been excused for thinking, and the Gemara says that indeed was the Havaman, and this is the entire Kiddush, I would have been excused for thinking there's no bracha. Depends on the intention. Kamashmalon days. Okay, as I mentioned, we will come back to this Be'ez Hashem at a later stage. Okay, I'd like to go back, if I may, and have a look at one or two very important nekudos in the previous sugya. One with regard to Yain, and then one with regard to our Shemen. Now, if you remember, on the Flamant Hill on the base, we were discussing at great length. Why is Yain unique in that it deserves a special bracha of its own? You don't say Borei Pri Ha'etz, you say Borei Pri Ha'gofen. And the maskana of the Gemara was, what is it that stands Yain apart? So the Gemara says, because it's so'id. What does so'id mean? Satisfies you, you have a meal. We explained, you don't quite have a full meal out of it. If you remember, have a look briefly at the Gemara says, why don't you make a Birkas Hamazon on it?
Come, we'll don't make a meal out of it.
So it says, because people don't make a meal out of it. What happens if they do? We'll worry about it then. Bokladaito, the Gemara says. That was the Gemara on the second wide line. Second very wide line. Yehochi Navrich Oleh Sholesh Brochus. By the way, why do we always refer to Brichas HaMazon as Sholesh Brochus? It's actually four. It was added. We'll see later on. The first three are the Reisa. That's the Brochus of HaMazon, Brochus of Noid, and Brochus of Yerushalayim. Then Ateva Meitiv. Later that was the Harugei Beta, the Drabonon, that got added. Therefore, we always refer to the benching as a Brichas Sholesh. The Brocha Achreino Ala Michio is called Brocha Me'ein. Me'ein is like similar to it. Encapsulates the main points of the three Brochas. Okay. So that was the Gemara's question. Why didn't you say Brichas HaMazon? If you're telling me that it's Soyez, so you should be Brichas HaMazon. Gemara says, no, a person doesn't actually make a whole meal out of it. And what ones do you do? Botla Daita, that's abnormal. Yeah, no, we'll worry about it if people do. Okay. So now we have a very, very big discussion over here. And let's have a look in the Rishonim over here. There was one further point. If you remember, we saw in the Gemara something that sounds almost counterintuitive. But it depends on whether you have a bit of wine or a lot of wine. Because we said that wine can actually generate an appetite, which sounds like it doesn't fill you up. In fact, that's what Rava did on Erev Pesach. In order to muster an appetite, you drank wine. What's going on? Wine fills you up or makes you hungry? Make up your mind. So Gemara says, depends if you have a little bit or a lot. If you have a little bit, it fills you up. If you have a lot, it gives you an appetite. Interesting. Matthias, we saw in the Halacha and the Mishnah there, not if you have too much, but either way, that's the distinction between a little bit of yain or a lot of yain. That we saw in the Gemara. Now, have a look at number one in the sheets, and here we say Shalom Aleichem to Rabbeinu Yoina. Why are we saying Shalom Aleichem? Because Be'ez Hashem Yisborach, it's going to be a Rishon that we're going to bump into a lot. Rabbeinu Yoina is one of the main Rishonim in Masechtas Brachos, and it is written essentially as a pirish to the Rif. The Rif we have in every Masechta. But the Rabbeinu Yoina, we don't have his pirish, unfortunately, to every Masechta, but we do to Brachos, and he's going to be one of the main players, one of the main Rishonim. Now, the Rabbeinu Yoina there is discussing an altogether different subject, which is not our subject at all, but it impinges on something which is our subject. Rav Shmulik. Rav Shmulik, what is that? Says Rabbeinu Yoina, Omru Rabone Tsarfas. What is Tsarfas? France. The Rabbonim of France, Zichronim Levrachah say, Demehocha Shaminon. From over here. Now, where's over here? It doesn't mean our Gemara. It's a different Gemara. It's basing ourselves on a different Gemara. It's a different subject, and it's not our subject. Why are we learning it? We'll see in a moment. The Rabbonim of Tsarfas extrapolated from a different Gemara. Demehocha Shaminon. From here you see, De Birkas Shloisha. What's Birkas Shloisha?
Benching
Birkas HaMazon. Eino poiteres me'ein gimel. Does not patter ala mechir. Very, very important child. Somebody sat down, he had three pieces of cake, he was mechir to say ala mechir, and for some reason he benched instead. So we might have been excused for thinking, well, obviously you're yoitzer. If you're yoitzer with the me'ein gimel, then obviously with a real gimel. You are mechuyev to say the real gimel, but how can it be worse? And Rabbeinu Yoina quotes to the Rabbonim of Tsarfas says, no, it's not true. They based on the Gemara, it's not our subject, we'll get to Be'ez Hashem. Also, it's a later stage that the Broch of Shloisha does not patter ala mechuyev. And therefore, ve'im ochal daisa. If somebody ate daisa, what's daisa? Somebody ate porridge, or kiyotziboy, or some similar mixture. Achar hamozoin afal pisha habrocha shaloi. Even though its brocha is me'ein birkas hamozoin, what is me'ein? like Birkas HaMazon, so I would have thought the Birkas HaMazon should pata. No. Ein Birkas HaMazon Poiteres Oisoi. Nonetheless, the bracha of Birkas HaMazon will not exempt it, and you will have to still say Ala Michyo. What was the proof? Have a look in the Gemara there. It's not our subject. So why are we learning it? Because of this line now. This is all the opinion of Rabbeinu Tzarfas. Comes along Rabbeinu Yoina and says, Miu Nira. However, it would appear to me the following. Now, he's not necessarily disagreeing. He's just qualifying. The Dafka Bishar Dvarim. That's only true with Shar Dvarim, where the bracha was Me'ein Shalish. If you say Birkas HaMazon, that will not help. It will not patter it. However, Aval B'yayin Poiteres Me'ein Shalish. In other words, the Gabayayin Birkas HaMazon Poiteres Me'ein Shalish. What is the bracha you're supposed to be making on wine, the bracha achrona? Right? Me'ein Shalish. So now, according to the Rabbanei Tzarfas, whenever you're supposed to be saying Me'ein Shalish, if you say Shloisha, Benshin, you're not Yetzer. So if I would have thought, okay, let's continue that until its conclusion, same would be true in wine as well. If you drink a cup of wine, meaning enough to warrant a bracha achrona, which is ala gefen, so if you bench, you're not the yoitz, the same as porridge. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, it's not true. Wine is different. How do I know? V'yesh siyua leze. What does siyua mean? There is a help. There is a proof to this. Mitzvah Amri, number Gemara. Seeing, as it says in the Gemara, Naflam Lefeyama Beis, which is our Gemara, Chamra, Soed, Umasameach, quote unquote. The Gemara says that wine is Soed, it's satiated, it's gladdens. Vahavinon Bo. And the Gemara asks the question, Ihochi, if so, Navrich Ole, Shloisha Brochis. Gemara asks, why don't you bench if it's like a suda, it's the same as lechem? Umahadrinon, and the Gemara responded that no. Loi kovi imshi oleon. A person is not normally kaveya, he doesn't fix, doesn't establish a whole suda on wine. Therefore, we're not going to consider it mosling under ordinary circumstances. Says the Manyaynon. The kevan di ilav zeloikovi in sheolel. You see from the Gemara that if not for the fact that people are not kiveya suda, hayinu mevarchin oleho birkas gimel k'moy ala pas. I see from the Gemara that what? That essentially birkas hamazon and wine is a good shidduch. Otherwise, the Gemara never would have suggested it in the first place. The Gemara only rejected it because it says that, well, you're not normally kaveya suda, therefore what? So the chazal were not mistaken, you have to bench after it. But nobody said because it's incompatible. If not for this svar about being kaveya or not being kaveya, we would have benched. Dinhu, logic would dictate, sheyeh eloi zeis hamayla, that it should indeed have this mayla, this benefit. This advantage, Yoyster Mishar Minim. Above all other Minim, the Birkas Gimel, when you bench fully, Tifter Oystoi, that will exempt him, Mi Birkas Me'en Sholish. So when the Gemara initially says, surely we should bench on wine, you've just explained to you that wine is so choshuv. That it fills you up and it gladdens you. No, if it's so choshev, you should say benching. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara never turned round and said, no, don't be silly, you can't bench on wine. That wasn't the Gemara's teretz. The Gemara just says a technicality because you're not kaveya stood on it. But we're not saying it's incompatible. Therefore, if somebody did indeed go ahead and bench on wine instead of saying in the Ein Shalosh, the indication is that he would indeed be Yetzer. Unlike Daisa. If you have Daisa, which is supposed to make Alamichyon, and you bench, what's the halacha? You're not Yotze. It doesn't pattern. So why is wine different? He's brought a very nice proof. What's this for? Why indeed is wine different? Because it's chashuv. Because it's chashuv, like he says. So it's hamaylo. Logic would dictate that because it has this extra mailo, you should indeed bench. Chazal didn't say you should bench lachatchila because you're not kibbeh student, but not because it's incompatible.
What did the Leah learn about cake? If you eat enough of it.
We haven't learned it yet, but we will get there. That's the whole sugya in Pasabol Bekisnin. We'll get there later on in fact.
Is it that you have to say Birkas HaMazon? So
we'll see. That's different if you're mamash kibbeh student. Have a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Number two on the sheets, Shulchan Aruch, Oirachayim, Simon Reish Ches, Steve Yud Zayin, Paskins Lahalocha, this Rabbi Yehin. And he says, Birkas Sholosh, Eino Poiteres Me'ein Sholosh. The Brocha of Sholosh does not exempt the Me'ein Sholosh, i.e., She'im Ochal Daisa, because in other words, if you ate porridge, Ein Birkas Hamozoin Poitrasoi, then Birkas Hamozoin would not exempt him. Avol, that's true with porridge. Avol Beyayin, Birkas Gimel Poitrasoi, then it would exempt him, i.e., She'im Birech Alayayin Birkas Hamozoin. If somebody made a bracha, an after bracha on wine, he said Birkas Hamozoin Bimkaim in place of Aragefen. Yes, he is. Where does the Shulchan Aruch get it from? Rabbeinu Yonah. Where does Rabbeinu Yonah get it from? Now, there is
the same white grapes. The same apply to grapes?
No.
Because
only because of the chashivas of Yain. Because Yain is a chashivas. Now, there are two very important points. Firstly, it's a little bit unfair to think that Rabbeinu Yonah is unanimously agreed upon. Rabbeinu Yonah is certainly the Psach Halacha, as we just saw in Shulchan Aruch. But if you look at number three on the sheet, the Bior Halacha, the Sahilig Chofetz Chaim, says it's not so poshut. Im Shosta Yayin Shaloi Betoich Hasuda. If somebody ate wine, not in the middle of the meal. In other words, if you have wine during the meal, then what's halacha?
Bench.
Obviously, benching includes it. That's according to all opinions. No discussion. But if you have yayin shaloi b'teich hasuda, so even though l'chatchila you're supposed to be saying ala gefen, which is me'ein sholish, but if you bench, you are potter b'dievet. Dekein hu das Rabbeinu Yonah. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah, as we learn. V'horosh says the bi'alocha v'chein mashma. The implication is this is also the opinion of Das Rashbam, Vahamo'er, Parakalhopi. So it's a whole list of Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yonah is not standing alone. He's in good company with the Rosh, the Balamor, the Rashbam, many, many Rishonim hold this way. Says the Bialocha, Af, Shedas Ramban, Vahoran, Shom, the Ramban and the Ram disagree and they hold that word. The Yayin Ein Nifter the Birkas Amosai. So what is the Bialocha teaching us? But the truth of the matter is we have a Rabbeinu Yonah, we have a Rosh, we have a Rashbam, we have a Balamor, but you should know that the Ramban and the Ram hold that what?
It's not.
That wine is exactly the same as Daisa. You've got to make a bracha of Me'in Sholish. Ein Nifter Birkas HaMozoin. Says the Halacha, fine, that might be the truth. But Halacha, Loi, Kaimelon, Kavosai. But we do not paskin like them, meaning the Ramban and the Ran. Or Kamoisha Postak, a Shulchan Aruch, Pasivse. As you clearly see, the Shulchan Aruch Tzak is not like that. Rather, the Shulchan Aruch is Mekel. This is a B'dievet. If you said benching, that's okay. Certainly not like a Tzkila. Okay, that's one point. Another point is a very, very interesting kasha, which if the things would be clear enough in our minds, then we should have asked this kasha ourselves. What's the kasha? Says the Bialocha, number 4, Birkat Shloisha Poitrasu. Kain Kozva Poiskim. This is what the Poiskim say, Rabbi Yoina, etc. Mehod the Brocha, Staflamatayama base. Behold, Porecha Gemara. The fact the Gemara asks the question, Yahi Navri Cholea Gimel Brocha. Fine. So Rabbeinu, Rabbi Halacha is pointing out the source of this Halacha. It's the Poiskim, namely Rabbeinu Yoina and others, and they based this on our Gemara. Now, says the Bialocha. Ulechaira Haloi Kushas HaGemara. Surely the Kasha of the Gemara Ka'isham is referring to there Rak Al Purta, only to a small amount decided where you have a Suda V'loi Al Tuva, and not when you have a lot Degori, which makes you hungry. In other words, says the Bi'ah Halacha, you've got to look back into the sources. If you remember, stage by stage of the Gemara, again, the Gemara said, why do you make a special broth on wine? Because it's special. Why is it special? Because you have a Suda out of it. And it fills you up. Then the Gemara interjected with a very important stage. The Gemara says, really? Does it really fill you up? So why did Rav have on Erev Pesach to make him hungry? Ah, apparently there's a difference between small amount and a big amount. A big amount makes you hungry. Small amount fills you up. So the Gemara says, well, if it really does fill you up, why don't you bench? Based on that line, the Gemara, Rabbeinu Yoina, concluded, you see that benching and wine essentially are compatible. But 1 second. That was the follow-up kasha after the Gemara made a distinction between a lot of wine and a small amount of wine. In other words, the only reason why the Gemara suggested that you could bench on wine is because yain fills you up. But the Gemara also says that wine only fills you up when you have a small amount. So if you put one and one together, you should get two. Which means, if you want to paskin and shulchan aruch, at least b'dieved, if you bench on wine, it's okay. L'chayr, that would only refer to what amount of wine?
Small amount.
Only a small amount of wine. One and one is two. Again, look at the Bialocha. Olechaira Haloi Kushias HaGemara. The Kasha of the Gemara Ka'isham was referring there to what? Rak Al Purta. Only to a small amount of soy that fills you up. Bavaloi Al Tuba Vigarev. But not when you have a lot which makes you hungry. And in Cain, says the Bialocha, if that's true, Havalei Lechaira. It would appear that the Chayr of the Shulchan Aruch should have done what? So Shulchan Aruch surely should have made a distinction, and what should it have said? To the Tuba, if you have a lot of it and that does not fill you up, then Ein Yitzei Afilu B'Di'evet B'Shapiri Chukas Amozim. A gewaldige kasha for the Allah. You see the Shulchan Aruch, it all seems to make perfect sense. Says the Bialocha, there is a glaring omission from Shulchan Aruch. If the whole Chiddush of Rabbeinu Yoina is based on the Gemara's question that you should bench, then you can't forget that the Gemara was talking about only when you have a small amount of wine. But if indeed you have a lot of wine, it doesn't fill you up. To the contrary, it makes you hungry. So nobody in a million years would have suggested that you bench. Whatever the shir is, but the Shulchan Aruch should have distinguished. The Shulchan Aruch should have made that distinction, should have said, if you bench on wine, it's okay. Why? Because wine fills you up, providing that you have a small amount of wine. If you have a lot, then that will be different. That's the Allah has cash on the Shulchan Aruch.
For a long time. Thank you.
That's a kasha for Chofetz Chaim. It needs good teretz. Why did the Shulchan Aruch not make a distinction between a small amount and a large amount? Okay.
I remember
a
long time ago, when you make a dollar,
yes,
it's best not to eat something if you need it to pay that thing. Rather, you should send it in charge and around and do it. To rely on benching.
Ah, because it wasn't part of the meal. Right.
What did you press?
Is that you?
Okay, let's try. Be'ez Hashem. Let's just try and finish off. That was an important one or two halachic important points. But there's one or two now important points with regard to shemen. Have a look at the Rambam, number 5 on the sheets, and the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Perches Halacha Beis, Pasen Halacha of Shem. And he says, Hasoichet Peirois, Vahoit Simehen Mashkin, Mevarech Halein B'tchilo Shahakoil. Now we don't know yet where that comes from, because we seem to have understood in the Mishnah that you say Bore Priho 8 so far. Ulebesoif, Bore Nefoshes. Okay. Chutzmin, besides for ha'anovim v'hazesim, grapes and olives, shalayayin, mevorech, borei pri agefen, bolivasoiv, brocha achas me'in sholish. Fine. Va'al ha'shemen b'tchilo mevorech, borei pri ho'eid. Fine. Some of these halachas we've not yet learned fully, because the Rambam is introducing shahakoil to the theme. We have not yet bumped into Shahakoil at all. Yeah, but this, however, is the important line. Bamed Varim Amurim, when is that true that you would make a bracha of Borei Priho Eitz on Shemen? Shoya Choshesh Bigroinoi. When you have a sore throat, v'shoisem in Hashemen, and you drink from the oil, im mei hashlokos, what's mei hashlokos with this cooked water, what the Gemara calls anigroin. Anything similar to that, because you are benefiting from the shtia. Avol im shosto hashemen levadoi. But if you drink the shemen levadoi, just a cup of oil, oishaloy yecheshes begreinoi. Now, how do we expect the Rambam to conclude? What will be the halacha then?
No bracha.
No bracha at all. Why not? Nothing more says it damages. Says Rama Mavorich Olov Shahakoi. Shahare Le Nehene Vitam Hashemen. He is not benefiting from the oil, the taste of the Shemen. He only benefits, he only enjoys the taste of the Shemen if he mixes it together with Meishlokos. If not, he doesn't benefit. So what bracha is there? Also, we learned in the Gemara that the Gemara says it's damaging, and Rashi says it's damaging. It's not considered achila at all. Rashi says clearly, the ein zu achila shetuuna brocha. This is not considered an achila that would require a brocha. How can you consider it an achila if it's damaging you? And the Rambam, firstly, does not talk about damage; it talks about benefiting. Number one. And number two, even more puzzling, he says, Alach Lamais, you would make a bracha. Not very praise, Shah. Look at the Kesef Mishnah, the last Bar Mokim Liyas discussion.
The second case, Yabal, Shalom Yachosh Fidrono.
Right.
That's the mixture? Was that,
no.
When Nigra? No.
No. If you're Choshesh Fidrono and you mix it with a Nigra, that's Meishlokos, that was the first case.
Yeah.
But if you're not mixing it with anigroin,
no, it says shalom hayachoshes b'gumron. That you didn't have a sore throat. But because the first case is he's drinking the oil by itself.
She's asking, what's the repeat case? Oy shalom hayachoshes b'gumron. It wasn't with anigroin or without. If it's with anigroin, then he's benefiting it. And if it's not, then it's the same case twice. Fair point. Okay. Have a look just briefly at the Kesef Mishnah. Who wrote the Kesef Mishnah, by the way? The Beis Yosef. There's the Kesef Mishnah. I don't understand. umash kosav. That which the Rambam says in Shasta Hashem levadoi shemavorech shahakol. I don't understand. Tema. What does tema mean? To kiven the izuki mazik, because it damages you. Ain levorech alav at all. Ken Perush Rashi. And the Rif also says, so he says, v'ishasi le mishte azukei mazik le. The Rif says quite clearly, if you drink it as a drink, it damages you, below mevorach olam, and you do not make a bracha at all. For kvar toma olav hatur, and the Tor already wonders this. Siman reish based, and the Tor has no idea pshat in the Rambam. The Gemara clearly says this is damaging. And what does damaging l'chayra mean, as Rashi and the Rif, right? Because it's damaging, therefore what? It's no bracha at all. So what does the Rambam mean? So the Kesef Mishnah says it would seem to be v'rabbeinu, that's the Rambam, mefarish, he would explain in the following manner. Shaloi omru idashosi le ezuki mazik, quote unquote. When the Gemara says there is a problem in that this drink damages you, the Gemara was only saying that Elo la'afuke, just to oppose Masha Omru Shivorech Olav Boire Pri Ho'ei. Remember, how did the Gemara start? The Brisa said that when you have Shemen, what bracha do you make? Boire Pri Ho'ei. The Gemara says, one second, stop. What's the case? If you drink it alone, it's damaging. So Rashi and the Rif learn the Gemara, if you drink it alone, because it's damaging, therefore what? No bracha at all, says the Kesef Mishnah. That's not how the Rambam learned the Gemara. You know how the Rambam learned the Gemara? It's just a challenge on what? On the Borei Prio 8. You told me that Shemen requires a Borei Prio 8. So Mara says, what do you mean? If you drink it by itself, it's damaging. So you wouldn't make a bracha Borei Prio 8. Not like Rashi and Rif, you wouldn't make a bracha at all. That's not how the Rambam learned the Kasha. The Rambam learned the Kasha, that the Kasha of the Mara was just in opposition to the initial statement. The initial statement is, if you drink Shemen, what's the halacha? Boire Prio 8. So the Rambam learned, the Gemara's Kasha was, what do you mean Boire Prio 8? But it's damaging, so you wouldn't make Boire Prio 8. But not to say you wouldn't make a book at all. I will give him the Afagav de Izuke Mazik, Nehu. But seeing as, even though it damages you, you still do benefit from it, so we have an enormous machloikus over here, halacha l'maaseh, between Rashi on the one hand,
together with the Rif,
versus the Rambam.
He's giving a bracha, the Kesef Mishnah saying Rambam's saying a bracha on the healing powers.
Nothing to do with healing. Mention one word about healing. Healing is later on Cheshish Begreina. The Rambam over here clearly says, even if you're not Cheshish Begreina, you still make shahada. Why? It's damaging, you still benefit from it. Damaging doesn't mean necessarily it's a bad taste, it just means unhealthy. But many foods that we eat are unhealthy are damaging, we still benefit from it in general.
The Gemara is going to say with sari, not only chicken, cake, wheat, and other.
Right.
Barley.
Right, right.
So barley is damaging. Nevertheless, this case up here where he says if you have the Shemen plain, that's with a sore throat. That's a continuation, no?
Correct.
Previous, and that's
correct.
With a sore throat.
Correct.
So there is Hana there.
Why?
So is the Rambam saying if you just sip olive oil Sam, like because you want to, you make a shekel?
That's what it sounds like, and that's the Kesef Mishnah's Kasha. Doesn't make sense. If it's damaging, the Lachaira Rashi and the Rif are correct, which is that's not considered Lachila at all. If it's not a Lachila, then make a bracha at all. This is the Kesef Mishnah. The Ram seems to have learned differently. The Ram seems to have learned, and when the Gemara says, hey, it's damaging, all that means is that therefore there's no Bore Priya. It's not therefore there's no bracha at all.
Still saying this, that is still or not. Therefore you haven't made a bracha.
Now the truth of the matter is, as we pointed out before, the Rambam does not discuss in this whole halacha anything about damage or not damage, so that benefits or not benefits. So I'll tell you a secret. The Gemara said, you say, Borei Prio Eitz on Shemen. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Oizuki mazik lei. What is oizuki mazik lei? Can you please translate those words very accurately? Oizuki mazik lei. It damages. What's mazik lei mean?
Damages
to him. Look at Rashi. Rashi adds one word. Oizuki mazik. What's the first word of Rashi?
Legufe.
It damages lei. Lei mean? To him, i.e. his body. And the Gemara backed that up, because the Gemara says, if you drink shemen of truma, even though you have to pay back the kerem, you don't pay a chemesh. Why it's not considered a chemesh? So I saw some explain a brand new translation. Because we're in big trouble with it. If indeed you translate the Gemara like Rashi, it's damaging to him. So Rashi is right. It's not Nachila. You would make a bracha. How can Rambam say that you make a bracha of Shahakos? Well, the answer is you translated one word differently. Oizuki mazik lei, it damages what lei? Rashi says legufa, it damages the body. The Rambam says it damages that's his body. Different translation. It damages it.
Oh,
it's only oil, not the person. What does that mean? Because this is not the normal, conventional usage of shemen. Therefore, you consider you're ruining the shemen. That's not its normal consumption. And how did the Gemara back that up? That's why when you eat shemen of truma, then what happens? You pay back the kerem. You don't pay back the chemish because that's not normal. Not in damaging the body, it's damaging the shemen. Unless, which case did we say you do pay the chemish? Sneering. Why? Because that is normal usage. So therefore, we're not talking about whether it damages the goof. According to the Rambam, shemen does not damage your goof. Rather, very good for your goof. Very geschmack. So why don't you make the normal bracha of Borei Pri or Eitz? Because it's not the normal ways. It's not usage of shemen in the normal manner. It's damaging to the shemen, not damaging to the goof. Or is Zuki Mazik Lei damaging to it? It's abnormal usage. But if it would be normal usage, like smearing it, absolutely fine. So therefore the Rambam says as follows. The issue of it is whether it damages the goof or doesn't damage the goof. It doesn't damage the goof at all. That's not how he translated the Gemara. If you use the shemen in the conventional manner, then you say the top bracha of Borei Pri or Eitz. But if you eat it in the non-conventional manner, i.e. not for medicinal purposes or not for with anigra and whatever, then you would not make the regular bracha. But what bracha would you make? Shakoil, why? Rambam, because you still have Hano. At the end of the day, Shariloi len ebetam Hashemen. But it's not enough of a reason to say that what? That you wouldn't make a bracha at all because it's not damaging.
Shemen has taste. So isn't it much easier to say that if I fill this cup up with shemen and I want to drink it, that's, you would not say a bracha on that because I know that would be damaging to my body. But if I just put a little in and I want to taste the shemen, then I'm going to say shakol because I know that I'll get, maybe it has a little,
we haven't seen yet weird taste. Anybody who's distinguishing a small amount and a large amount, although we did all say last time that clearly people definitely mix oil with their salads and it's definitely nice to clear.
Right.
But then you wouldn't make a bracha anyway because ik and tofu.
Right.
We're trying to find
taste then. I guess the first time is that like
if oil tastes things
like flavors.
Yeah. On Koponim, we have a completely different understanding of the Gemara, in the Rambam, in the words Oizuki Mazikle. Oizuki Mazikle, according to Rashi and the Ritnis, it damages the group, and therefore is simply not considered a Maisa Achila, it's like eating a table. However much you enjoy eating the table, it might be delicious for you, but it's damaging, it's not considered an Achila. It's not an Achila, it's no Brocha. The Rambam did not learn like that. The Rambam, according to his understanding, learns it's damaging to the oil, it's not conventional usage of the oil. If it's not conventional usage of the oil, you've not made the conventional bracha. You still say shahar.
I like it. The dietitians say olive oil is good for you.
It's good for you. Cod liver oil now, kids. Okay, we'll hold it over here.
Fish oil.
Be'ez Hashem on Sunday of Olin Toiva. We'll move now into the next video, which is Chitin and Kemach, and that will be Be'ez Hashem. Next week, we're leaving up to...